you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Thursday, December 14th. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined by Field Yates and Tyler Fulgham.
Yeah, baby.
That's right. Hey, Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Insurance can be hard. That's why Geico makes it easy with 24/7 claim service and on-the-go policy info in the app. It is easy to Geico. Tyler, I am pumped to have you here. I have never done a Fantasy Focus with you.
This is a maiden voyage for the two of us. Of course, I've been with Field the last couple of weeks here, so I'm excited, Dop, to finally have you on board and complete the troika here.
I think
this is a Fantasy Football troika, and I have to ask this question.
Please do.
After now hearing that intro for the third time, is that you, Dop, singing that tune?
Because it is
sounds
not.
Like it could be you.
That is not. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. No.
You are very musically inclined, though, right?
I try to do a few things. Yeah, I think we got to get a band together in the off season.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no contribution to this band, but I will. I'll be your guys' manager. How about that?
Hey, that works for me.
By the way, Tyler, how do you feel about the fact that you've been on this show more recently than Daniel and I have?
That's true.
I mean, truly, like the audience is probably like, you know, those two jokesters. Can you just take a step aside here?
Listen, since moving from Vegas, I literally have nothing else to do but work and go back to the hotel while I wait for my place. So. This is just born out of necessity. I don't want to be bored at the hotel, so I'm signing up for everything around here.
As somebody who spent many a night in a hotel in Connecticut for about a decade, I can tell you that this time of the year, the offerings are rather slim.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're into like skating on ice.
Mm-hmm.
Are you much of a skater?
No.
Probably not.
I played ice hockey 1 year.
Do you like outdoor, cold outdoor activities? That's not your thing?
Everybody has that sport that they played for 1 year, and there's a story why you stopped playing that sport after 1 year. So for you, it was 1 year of organized hockey?
1 year of organized ice hockey. Then I pivoted to roller hockey because rollerblading was much cooler than ice skating back in the mid-90s.
Really? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're from St. Louis. Yeah, maybe it was an original thing. I don't know.
I grew up in like suburbia. There was a few ponds around. But you had to it just was much easier to go on the street with rollerblades than find a sheet of ice.
Right. So I'm from Massachusetts where the one sport where our per capita, is higher than any other state in the country is hockey, right? The number of professional hockey players that that are stars from Massachusetts is significant, right? Yeah. Like Jack Eichel amongst many others that are just absolute stars. That's young, old, you name it. So hockey for me was if you didn't play it was something was wrong with you. Roller hockey, I think, is probably pretty fun. I can't say that I ever played it. Daniel, did you have a sport that you tried for 1 year and
I played a ton of hockey.
You're from Michigan, so that's also
USA, baby.
Yes,
come
on.
My town actually had an outdoor rink that in the summer had just perfectly smooth cement with big nets so that you can come out and play in the summer.
Yep.
Then in the winter, they just flood it with water and then we can play ice hockey in it because we grew up in Michigan. And so that's part of what we did.
That's what we do. That's right. I think Matthew Tkachuk, born and raised in St. Louis.
Yes, right. Because
his dad played there.
Right.
So, I actually heard a story that I got a buddy who plays for the St. Louis Blues now. And he was telling me that I think Matthew Tkachuk's place.
Hold on.
Sorry, mic drop. Yeah, my bad.
I'll get that for you.
Name dropping. I didn't actually name him, though. Kevin Hayes. He's a great guy. I think he told me that basically Tkachuk owns a place in St. Louis and just rents it out to guys who just who either come and go with the Blues. Because it's you're always going to have someone interested because there's going to be somebody coming and somebody going to St. Louis. That's enough hockey talk here for the Fantasy Focus Football podcast.
More hockey talk we've had all
year. Greg Wyshynski will be on the hockey Fantasy Focus for all you hockey players out there. Love Wyshynski, Puck Daddy.
Love Greg, that's right. All right, let's dive in. We got a Thursday Night Football preview as well as a Week 15 preview, Part 1. We're going to dive into some of the lesser exciting games and some of the topics that we have. But let's start with Thursday Night Football. This one will probably be, hopefully, pretty quick. Not a lot
of
names.
The game or this preview?
the preview. Is there a way to speed
up the game tonight?
Yeah. Let's start with this one. Injuries is a huge part in this one, unfortunately.
Right.
You look at the Chargers. Keenan Allen is out for this one with that heel injury that we talked about earlier in the week, which means Field Yates. When we're looking at wide receivers, we're looking at Quentin Johnston, Joshua Palmer. How are you looking at any of these wide receivers? Would anybody be a starter for you here on Thursday Night Football from the Chargers?
No, I have no Chargers wide receiver inside my top 40, which even in deep leagues, wide receiver 41 is not going to be a starter. Yep. I've got Palmer down at wide receiver 43. So the reasons being, of course, that this is a player who's coming off of an injury and his head coach has already said, won't play his full allotment of snaps. Moreover, Easton Stick. Beyond that, the Raiders defense has been good over the past couple of months here. They have been legitimately impressive, as was the case this past Sunday when they allowed 3 total points and still lost. Now, because of the fact that when you don't have a player playing his full allotment of snaps, you tend to gravitate towards playing him when he is actually going to be running routes and potentially the top target. I think there's a chance that Josh Palmer has 5 to 8 targets tonight. Mm-hmm. Good enough to be wide receiver 43 for me, though, Tyler.
Ugh.
Yeah, this
I know. Daniel's grunt is...
It just, even if he does get that, it feels like this entire offense is just going to be operating with a lower ceiling because you're going to have Easton Stick.
He could turn that into 4 for 37, right?
I'm glad you mentioned that ceiling for this offense here, Dop. From a betting and mathematical perspective, the team total for the LA Chargers, let me look, 15.5.
Ugh.
So it would be... This team would be exceeding expectation, essentially, if they score more than a touchdown and a couple of field goals.
Yeah.
You know, like that is what you're looking at as the baseline, as the highest probability outcome for this team. And then you couple in the matchup with the Raiders playing much better defense. You couple in the fact that the Raiders, even if Josh Jacobs is in or out, Antonio Pierce is very committed to running the football, shortening the game, and limiting play volume. That's bad for everyone inside that stadium when it comes to a fantasy perspective. I think one player has some opportunity to pop off. We'll get to that in a second. But as far as the Chargers' whole offense is concerned, getting involved with that wide receiver core without Justin Herbert scares me.
Yep.
Makes me nervous as well. Easton Stick, as I said yesterday on the show, like there have been several backup quarterbacks that have impressed me more than I expected them to in recent games. I just don't know what to tell you about Easton Stick because last week was the first time that we have ever seen him play snaps of consequence. He's never started a game in the NFL. Never.
Wow. Well, how about when you look at this, understanding all of the things that are going on with this offense field, I got Austin Eckler as the only guy that I'm interested in starting tonight. For me, he is an RB2, but now that Keenan Allen has been ruled out, I'm actually going to probably move him down just a little bit. I had him at running back 12. He'll probably be more like a mid-tier or low-end RB2. He's the only guy here. If I'm a defense, I'm just going to try and stop Austin Eckler tonight.
So people probably will see it one of two ways. Yep. They might say what you're saying, Dop, which is like, all right, the chances of them finding the end zone have decreased without Keenan Allen. Others may say, hey, well, with no Keenan Allen, maybe Austin Eckler has 10 targets tonight. I've got him as RB17, which is where I was last night. Seems like Tyler tends to be on that latter argument, right? The idea that who else are you going to feed? Is that your calculus for Austin Eckler?
I think he's appropriately ranked by you guys as a RB2, but he has RB1 week-winning upside. In PPR leagues, because I think he could catch 7-8 balls in this game because Easton Stick is also someone who's not going to push the ball vertically. He's going to look for the short intermediate routes that Eckler's going to be running. I thought Eckler looked as spry and as explosive last week when he counted for 100 yards and a touchdown on 15 touches than he has in multiple weeks dealing with that ankle injury. So this is another game indoor on turf. If he is progressing even further, 20-plus touches is a reasonable expectation if everything goes right for Austin Eckler.
Tyler said a few moments ago, there's a player that he thinks has a chance to have like a big night tonight.
That's him.
That's got to be Austin.
I didn't know if you were teasing somebody else that was like a little more under the radar.
That's the only one I see. Like he can win you this week, Dop, if he gets those 20.
So that's the one.
I'm pretty sure that Tyler was in on Cameron Dicker as the guy that he was talking about.
Dicker, baby. Right. I mean, he'd tell us.
Actually, a defense could do something. We saw the Raiders basically pitch a shutout last week.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that Vikings-Raiders game. One that will be forever remembered for all the wrong reasons.
Let's talk about the Raiders with this one. Another backup quarterback going to be under center here, Aiden O'Connell. Obviously, the big story for me, Field Yates, we heard on Good Morning Football this morning. Sounds like Josh Jacobs looking like he's going to be doubtful to play. I know he's got the questionable tag, but it does not sound good if you are a Josh Jacobs manager. In case he does roll, Field, I want to know how you are approaching him. And then if he doesn't roll, I want to talk about how we're going to look at those backup running backs.
I'll keep it simpler. If he plays, you're playing him.
Yeah.
Right? He is still the NFL, or he may not be anymore, Pulse, but he was very recently the NFL's leader in carries because he got banged up recently. Maybe he has lost that crown to somebody else, but the workload's still insane for Josh Jacobs, even though the efficiency in the touchdowns is way down. If he plays, you play him. If he does not play, I expect Zamir White to be the starting running back for the Las Vegas Raiders tonight. But there are still some question marks there. Will it be Zamir White taking on a full Josh Jacobs plate of work? Or will there be some Amir Abdullah, perhaps some Brandon Bolden mixed in there tonight for the Las Vegas Raiders? Which is why, assuming that Josh Jacobs does not play, I would have Zamir White ranked closer to like running back 20 as opposed to like running back 8 or 9.
Yeah, my concern is that Josh Jacobs, when he is in there, he has a 3-down goal line role. Mm. If he is not in there, I don't think Antonio Pierce just says, next up, take that role. Mm. I think he splits it.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly. I think Zamir White is the 2-down grinder, and then Bolden / Abdullah get in where they fit in on third downs and maybe even 2-minute or third and long or even goal line situation. So if it's not Josh Jacobs, again, little intrigues me about the Raiders offense.
Yeah, Zamir White, I'm sorry, Josh Jacobs, by the way, does still lead the NFL in carries so far this season. So we thought that was one of the big questions was how much was he going to handle this year after this unbelievable workload last year? And the answer is pretty much the same thing, just a lot less efficient and very few touchdowns so far for Double J.
Josh Jacobs has 18 goal to go carries this year. There's only one other running back that has one, and it's Zamir White. Obviously, Josh Jacobs is the guy when you get into that part of the field. And so a lot of questions, Tyler, like you're saying, how are we going to be able to divide this backfield to know what it is that they're going to do tonight? One of the clearer pictures, I guess you could say, would be these pass catchers, because you still have Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. It hasn't been smooth sailing for you, Field, but at least you know that you've got these two guys. How are you approaching them this week against the Chargers?
Let's put the numbers to it, because with Davante Adams, I could sit here and just tell you what I'm going to tell you, which is that I am going to continue to play Davante Adams because he is Davante bleeping Adams. Let me tell you why I think he might be due. Over the last 7 games, Davante Adams has at least 7 targets in all of them. He has 10 targets in 4 of those 7 games. However, he has no more than 86 receiving yards in those 7 games and just 1 total touchdown. Mm. A player of that caliber just feels due at some point, and there would be no better time than the first round of the fantasy playoffs for Davante Adams to have a 20-plus point game, Tyler. He is questionable because of an illness. The general sense I got last night was that Davante would still give it a go. And we've been talking narratives recently on this show, and I think those are more important at this juncture of the year, because what's ahead is so much clearer than it is in weeks 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera, early in the year. Yes, the Raiders are playing for basically nothing more than pride, and some would say, why not just lose out and get a better draft pick? You've got a head coach and a GM who are auditioning for the job, and Max Crosby, one of the leaders of the team, probably along with Davante Adams, said yesterday, Daniel, we're not giving up a thing. We are going to play maximum effort, 100%, give it a go. So I think Davante is motivated to be out there tonight.
I want to ask you a question about this. Is not the fantasy thing, but like, is this a situation? Not everybody that comes in as a coach is like truly interviewing for the job next year. Is this one of those situations where Antonio Pierce has a shot and we're really looking at how is he coaching this team for the next handful of weeks going into next season?
Definitely. And the hard part is that I feel like he's kind of handcuffed because the roster is what it is, and you've got a serious quarterback problem, and the team cannot play Jimmy Garoppolo, because what they would risk is Jimmy gets hurt and then there is money in his contract in 2024 that is guaranteed only if Jimmy is injured.
Yeah.
So you have to protect against the injury for Jimmy Garoppolo. And while he's not perfect, he's far from it, he's better than Aiden O'Connell.
Yes.
Like Aiden O'Connell, nice story, sort of 4th round pick, probably destined to be a career backup. But it's clear that right now, part of the reason why they've struggled so much offensively is they took a big downgrade in quarterback play. So I've got Davante in. I'm in on Davante tonight.
I see him very similarly to Austin Eckler. He is a top 5 RB wide receiver 1 by name and what we've seen. But his situation for this game drops him into what is realistically slotted as a wide receiver 2 evaluation. Now, I agree. I think he can pop off. This, we know people have scored plenty of fantasy points against this Charger defense.
They have.
So that's a check in the plus side for Davante Adams. But Aiden O'Connell is not going to access the ceiling that Jimmy Garoppolo would. My concern for these pass catchers is twofold, not just the quarterback, but now the quarterback is dealing with a decimated offensive line. Colton Miller and Andre James are out for this as two stars, your center and your left tackle. Important in running an offense. The person who touches the ball in every single snap and the person who protects your blind side. So if Khalil Mack has a advantageous matchup, perhaps he makes life difficult for Aiden O'Connell, and O'Connell doesn't even have time to get to Davante Adams, even if Adams is winning those routes. But it is Davante Adams, it's against the Chargers, and if those backup linemen protect, perhaps you could have that 20-point game you need.
I would love that 20-point game so much.
That would be fantastic.
And I have Jacoby Myers, by the way, as wide receiver 42. For Myers, I think the thing with him is that more so than Devonta, even, he is touchdown dependent. Over the last six games, he has 23 total targets. Mm. He has no more than 79 yards in any of those six games. He has one touchdown in those six games through the air. He did have one rushing touchdown as well. So while he's been a bit busy over the past three, it just seems very clear to me that the Raiders are motivated. And this has been an Antonio Pierce thing, is they're motivated to feed Devonta Adams in the passing game. Last thing, but only thing that I would say, and this is, I'm sure the Raiders are listening closely to this show hours before their game tonight, is that one thing that I've noticed with Devonta Adams has been they've started really hot with Devonta and then slowed down in the second half.
Yep.
The script seems to work well for the Raiders in the first half. They got to find a way to overcome the defensive adjustments at halftime and keep a more balanced effort. That's the path for Devonta to get to 20 points tonight.
When I look at Devonta Adams, these are just some notes to share. In 2020, he had 9 games with 20 or more fantasy points.
Ooh, it's going to hurt me.
In 2021, he had 7 games with 20 or more fantasy points. In 2022, he also had 7 games with 20 or more fantasy points. He's got 3 so far this year.
That's actually surprising. I would have guessed.
You would guess,
I would have guessed the under. Than I would have guessed the under 2.5. Yeah. I would have guessed under 2.5. No
he had that 140-point game against Pittsburgh earlier in the year. That feels like such a distant memory. There's no chance that was actually this season, even though it was literally this season.
Field, you are literally the guy to be able to speak fantasy players into existence. We've done it with Evan Engram. You did it earlier this year with Deontay Johnson. I think this is the game. Week 15, fantasy playoffs. Make it happen with Devonta Adams.
I feel like DK kind of got spoken to existence in that game against the Cowboys as well.
That one was like, as we said after the fact, we were like, you know, that's like an easy, like, you know, play a really good player. You know, with Devonta, what I am confident in is this. Assuming he gives it a go, is that while there are many on the outside, as I stated, that are saying, just give up the fight. Who gives a crap? Play Trey Tucker and, you know, backup wide receivers. I think Devonta has way too much professional pride. Like, he's been, I think there is a part of Devonta Adams that every week wants to prove that he is still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being a reductive idiot, which I've been called a lot worse. So if you feel that way about me, that's okay. But yikes. Devonta Adams, I do think, will be available tonight, and I am optimistic he can have a solid outing.
Let's pick this game, Field Yates.
I'm a little nervous, Daniel, because I'm not going to lie. I had a good pick last week.
Yeah.
Took the Patriots straight up against the Steelers when they were a dog and not a lot of reasons to believe in them. So I'm worried about the streak coming to an end. I will take, though, the Las Vegas Raiders.
All right, we're on opposite sides there. I think this is a low-scoring game. I'm going to take the underdog. I'm going to take the Chargers. My concern is that offensive line, the potential absence of Josh Jacobs, and I'm going to continue to be hurt by the Chargers. They're just going to continue to hurt me. I'm never. It's like that the stove that I keep touching and burning, but never learning. I keep betting on the Chargers because on paper they're so much better. But
can you say that line one more time?
On paper.
No. The churning, burning, learning. What?
That was pretty good.
Churning, burning. I'm not learning anything when I put my hand on that.
That's right. That's right.
Learning, burning. Daniel, who do you got?
I like that Tyler was able to channel his inner Mike Clay in this one. Oh, that would have been good.
Whoa, Daniel.
Because Tyler,
don't channel any Mike Clay around here. Yeah.
Mike Clay has been in on the Chargers for the last like 5 years. They're off to a terrible start, and that won't change his mind. We have a song where that's like written into it. I'm also going to take the Chargers though in this one. I like Austin Eckler. I'm going to go that direction. Field, last question, then we can move on about this. Hunter Renfro, does his contract come off the books this year?
It does not. It's got one more year left after this, which it's quite cuttable if the Raiders decide to go that path. But
it's one of the more confusing things for me with how good he looked 2 years ago. And it's
dude, I mean, that whole offseason starts to look a lot more curious now when you look at some of the money they shelved out and players that are either no longer there in the case of Darren Waller
or just not
Chandler Jones, or just not playing that well. Yeah. So it's a curious few years in Las Vegas.
All right, we're going to talk about our Week 15 preview, Part 1. But first, are you overwhelmed by insurance, Field?
I am, Daniel, if I could find the right page.
You don't even need to. Okay, I can help make it easy for you.
Thank you.
All your insurance in one place with GEICO. Plus, get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access with the award-winning GEICO mobile app. See how easy insurance can be. Go to GEICO.com. All right. Heading
great
into week 15,
by the
thank
way.
Thank you very much, Field. Appreciate that. Yep. Thank you, guys. Elite. Oh, wow. This is so nice. Usually Mike's in that chair. We're making fun of him. Just so that everyone knows, we do, in fact, love Mike Clay for all the
Mike's
crap
the
that
goat.
We give to Mike.
Love Mike.
Tyler
yes.
doesn't like Mike. He did not chime in on that, but you right. and I feel we actually
noticeably
do like,
quiet over there, yes. Mr. Fulgham.
I have no comments, and nothing should be made of my lack of comments.
That's so good. All right, so let's dive into our Week 15 matchup field. First and foremost, this is playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? They're at our doorstep. We're trying to figure out how we move on, not just this week. Now every single game matters. So given that, when you look at this, if you have a bye yep. here in this first week, mm-hmm. how are you approaching this week? Are you going out on waivers to try and grab someone? Are you trying to block people as a party? Like, what is it that you change about your approach now that you've made the playoffs?
First of all, drinking several Miller Lights in celebration of getting that bye. Obviously, we feel good about yep. that. And thanks to Miller Lite for being a great partner of this program. But yes, Daniel, what I am doing is I am playing either defense or I am playing look-ahead waiver additions this week. It's okay. who has a great matchup in Week 15 specific to my defense. It's, hey, does my quarterback have a terrible matchup in, I'm sorry, Week 16? Yes. Does my quarterback have a terrible Week 16 matchup? Maybe I need to provide a backup. How about this? If I have a back who is either fully healthy, whether he's fully healthy or uncertain right now, am I grabbing his backup just in case, right? Like, yep. did you grab Zamir White off of waivers? Are you grabbing Chris Rodriguez / Antonio Gibson in Washington? Are you grabbing players like Rico Dowdle if you have Tony Pollard? Do all of those things to have the just-in-case cards to play, because this weekend, nothing that happens is going to impact your livelihood for next week. You are going to be in the mix. Do as much as you can to plan ahead, and then enjoy the weekend as well. Have some fun. Kick back, relax.
I'll say this, Field Yates, a couple guys that we talked about earlier this week, some insurance backs that yeah. we think need to be on the end of rosters. Keaton Mitchell still available in 65% of leagues.
Ooh. Good one, yep.
Tajay Spears still available in 60% of
that
leagues.
That one should be higher.
Like, so there are some guys out totally. There that have total, there is a path to potential playing time, and when you're looking at the back half of your roster, guys like, and I hate to say this, but like guys like Dalvin Cook and those lower end running backs, like you don't need them anymore.
Don't need them. Yep.
Cut them. Add these guys. This is who you're looking for. I love playing defense, Field. When I get into the fantasy playoffs, that's one of the things is being able to figure out not just what I need, but what does the person I'm playing against need? And yeah. let's see if I can make sure that I find a way to stop someone from getting even stronger in the fantasy playoffs.
Anything from you?
This is all great advice. I think maybe the biggest edge that can be found for you at this point in the season is understanding injuries to offensive line and defense
Ooh.
That will affect either the efficiency of your player on said offense
yep.
in a negative way. And if it's an injury on defense, affect the efficiency of that player in a positive way. So sure. understanding right now that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have literally lost the spine of their entire defense, Vita yeah. Vea, yep. Devin White, the cornerback issues, that has made them a much softer defense for everyone involved, especially quarterbacks yeah. and running backs. And then understanding, like, for instance, if Josh Jacobs, let's say he was playing tonight, but you're missing your left tackle and your center, you're going to start Josh Jacobs. But hypothetically, if you have a guy who's in a flex spot and his offensive line is missing two or three pieces, what are the chances that the backups are going to maintain the efficiency you expect?
Right.
So understand those injuries that are not to the skill players we're putting in our lineups, but to the other pieces that affect all 22 on the field, specifically O-line and defenses.
So if you guys have questions specific to offensive line, by the way, tweet at Damian Woody.
That's right.
Give me the answer.
That's
Damian, right. of course, the big fella, loves his offensive line play.
All right, let's dive in and talk about a handful of topics here then,
let's
guys.
Let's do it.
Justin Fields has been pretty good recently. Last couple of weeks, he did have a 10-point game in there, but he has looked much better since returning from bye. Field, when you look at him this week, though, he crushed my Lions last week. Now he gets the Cleveland Browns. How are you approaching Justin Fields? Is he a top 10 quarterback for you in Week 15?
He is. So on paper, you say to yourself, a quarterback facing the Browns is bad news, right? But let's dive a little bit deeper. Here is Justin Fields over the past five games in terms of carries, 12, 12. 18, 8, and 11. So at least 8 and up to 18 in each of those five games.
That's a high floor.
In terms of rushing yards, yep, 58, 59, 104,
wow.
46, and 57. So over the past five games, purely off of rushing yard production, he basically has given you a five-point buffer over quarterbacks that do not run the ball at all, like a Tua Tagovailoa, Matthew Stafford, Jared yep. Goff, guys of that nature, right? Then you play the Browns, and you're thinking to yourself, well, stay away from them. The secrets, well not, it's not, it's actually not the secret sauce at all. The very obvious sauce of the Browns is they're just so good in pass defense and they rush the heck
right.
out of the passer. So The Browns have actually allowed 5 rushing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks this season, second most or one shy of the most in the NFL. So I've got Justin Fields on the strength of his legs as a top 10 fantasy quarterback, specifically quarterback 9 this week in a game that may be low scoring, Tyler.
Yeah.
But not low scoring enough to prevent Fields from getting the 18 or 20 fantasy points.
Very, very fair there. Fields is obviously dynamic that he can win you a week in any matchup on his own via the strength of his legs. It is not a great matchup because despite the ability or the rushing potential that he might have, the pass rush and the pass secondary of the Cleveland Browns, elite. They are very, very good. 3rd in the NFL in pass rush win rate. So, and we know Justin Fields takes sacks. I think if you're a Fields owner right now and you're considering, so let's do this workshop with the three minds here.
Let's do it. Yep.
Justin Fields or an opportunity to start Matthew Stafford off the waiver wire this week. Because Stafford is, of course, giving you nothing on the ground. Yep. But is there anybody who's hotter right now? 10 touchdowns in his last 3 games. And is there a better matchup than in a domed environment against the Washington Commanders defense? So I think this is a real life scenario that fantasy owners out there, fantasy managers could be facing with Justin Fields has gotten me here. Matthew Stafford's available. What do I do to win this game?
So I have Fields as quarterback 9.
Okay.
Stafford is quarterback 8.
Okay.
So how about that? And Dave,
I have it swapped.
Okay. So you would take
Fields over Stafford, but I have Stafford. And we had this conversation yesterday, Tyler. We talked about Matthew Stafford or a bunch of different quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes being one of them because of everything that you just lined up. But that is it. I would take Justin Fields over Matthew Stafford in this one, but this is a very close one.
This is my favorite part about the fantasy playoffs is Tyler sort of illuminate, and Tyler is not merely just a fan. Obviously, you have tons of knowledge and you know you have plenty of expertise in this area. But I have found that some of the most relatable conversations this week have been around exactly these kind of decisions.
Yep.
Right. I mean, talking about with colleagues, with friends, with family who are just like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
And it's not when they're like debating between like, am I starting Jackson Smith and Jigba or George Pickens this week?
Right.
No, it's like, hey, am I benching my first round pick from this year? That's the kind of conversations that are taking place.
Yep.
I do hope there's a way that we can edit some video from about 90 seconds or so ago when Tyler said Fields is so dynamic and can provide you winning upside. Can we just chop the S there? For a second, I was like, that's such a nice thing for Tyler to say about me.
All of a sudden,
like,
my mic goes
yeah, it's weird. Goes out. I don't know if we can manipulate that.
I think I'm taking off my soul and royal blue colored glasses. I think Stafford, as crazy as this to say, clearly the inferior fantasy football player, superior football player, fantasy-wise, is Justin Fields. But this week, I think I would take Stafford for that floor ceiling combination. I think you have a lower floor with Justin Fields, as crazy as it is to say, even with that rushing equity.
Did you say the soul? So the Rams colors are soul
and royal
bone?
Blue.
What else? They have
bone. It's like I think a royal blue. I think it's just royal blue, soul, and bone.
Bone. Okay. Why not?
Soul.
Last
soul's
note
the
here.
Yellow. That's the color of the sun. Like that's sun in Spanish, I believe.
Oh, S-O-L. Soul.
S-O-L. Not S-O-U-L. S-O-L.
Got it. Not S-O-L-E. Not S-O-U-L. S-O-L. Sol. By the way, great note. I mean, all-time good note here from Kevin Pulsifer. I mentioned the 5 rushing touchdowns allowed by the Browns this season. All 5 read option plays by the quarterback in the red zone. So if you're out there listening right now,
I see ya.
Bears fans, run read option in the red zone with Justin Fields.
Fields, you want to do a thing here, or you're not that far apart on Stafford and Justin Fields?
I mean, I've got him one spot apart, so I would be happy to be a part of the board bet. It feels like you and Tyler have more
conviction.
You've got stronger takes on this one.
I got Justin Fields at 7. I have Matthew Stafford at 10. So if you want to, Tyler, have you ever done a board bet on Fantasy Focus?
I have not.
First one.
All right. Now I'm going to say a thing and then you're going to say your thing, but basically repeating it like the same way that I did. Okay. This is how it works. I say Justin Fields scores more fantasy points in week 15 than Matthew Stafford.
I say Matthew Stafford scores more points in week 15 than Justin Fields.
And now at the same time, we look deeply into each other's eyes and we say, put it on the board, okay? 3, 2, 1. Put it on the board.
Oh, okay. Over here.
That was pretty good. That was still pretty good, though, Tyler.
Put it on the board.
That was not bad for the first board bet. I'll take that.
I'm excited. I think we've had
I needed a stage director in here to be like, camera one, look over here.
Soon enough, there'll be an AI bot that'll just be,
that's right.
A robot just telling you where to go.
Hey, it's not just Justin Fields. Let's talk about Field. Jake Browning is, in fact, the guy we want to talk about. He's been great the last 2 weeks. Over 23 fantasy points in back-to-back weeks. He has looked fantastic filling in for Joe Burrow. Now he gets the Minnesota Vikings in field. Minnesota has actually been pretty good against quarterbacks recently.
This is how I evaluate Jake Browning's potential for this weekend. How much do you fear Brian Flores? Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, who, as we know, is unafraid to dial up pressure about as much as any defensive coordinator in the entire NFL. He flummoxed the Raiders last weekend. He flummoxed Justin Fields on Monday Night Football in a game that the Bears ended up winning, of course. Remember that game? It was like Fields was throwing every pass at or near the line of
scrimmage. It was horizontal. It was the horizontal raid.
Right? Yeah. However, that has kind of been what Cincinnati has done. Jake Browning somehow has a yards per attempt of like 9 over the past 2.5, 3 games. And yet his air yards per attempt is dead last amongst qualifying quarterbacks. So what does that tell you? Even if he throws it short, aliens like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon are so good after the catch that they can do major damage. Will Brian Flores keep up what he has done over the past few weeks and just pressure them and say, go ahead, you want to win with that stuff? Try it. Because I think there's a chance that Minnesota says, if that's what you want to do, good luck against us. Over the past 6 games, opposing quarterbacks are averaging 13.0 fantasy points per game against the Vikings. That's the 5th best in the NFL in that stretch.
A couple of things. One, Dop, did you say Jake Browning because you thought it was a different name and then realized you said the name right?
No, it's literally exactly what happened. I was like, Browning was not his last name. No, it was.
I caught that. I caught that there.
How many backup quarterbacks we've had in the NFL nowadays.
I get it. I've done it many a times in this profession. As far as Brian Flores is concerned, guys, I mean this in the most endearing way possible. He is the 6-year-old on Madden who does engage 8 for every single defensive play. And he will not stop. He will go down either. Yep. He will sink on that ship, sending 6-7 guys at every opposing quarterback. So
Jake, he is a madman. Yeah.
Jake Browning, I think, has a better opportunity in the system the Bengals are running to have success versus this defense than previous quarterbacks, because you know what has gotten going for the Bengals as of late, and you illustrated it with the short A-dot but long yards per. The screen game in Cincinnati is crushing right now. Joe Mixon, Chase Brown, second fastest next-gen sprint speed of the season for that rookie out of Illinois. T. Higgins and, of course, Jamar Chase. So if Jake Browning and Zach Taylor are able to dial up the screen at the right time against a blitz, that's the way you beat a blitz. When they're sending, get it out, blockers in front, and go have your playmakers make plays. So I am still on the Jake Browning train. Okay. I think it could do a lot worse than having to start Jake Browning in week 15 this week and your fantasy playoff. There are better options, but if you're stuck with nothing else, you can start him, I think, with some confidence because the game's at home, and this offense, I think, has the recipe to score points and move the ball efficiently against Brian Flores.
I've got him as quarterback 21, so I'm less optimistic. Okay. But to your point about the screen game, Kevin Pulsifer notes in his great article that you should be reading every single week on ESPN.com, Joe Mixon over the past 3 weeks alone has 9 screen play targets. 9 in 3 games. So if you like him in the receiving game, you should feel confident in Joe Mixon on Saturday.
Absolutely.
3 games on Saturday this weekend.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun, right? It'll be really cool to be able to have a handful of like another lazy Saturday there. College football.
My wife is so excited that I get to spend football all day. She's so thrilled about that.
I'll bet she is. Yeah. Let's dive in and talk about Odell Beckham Jr.
Baby.
Are we at the point where we're back? Is he back? Tyler, are you back in on OBJ being the guy?
I think Odell Beckham Jr. right now is, think about the 2023 fantasy playoffs. You are going to be relying on Odell Beckham Jr. and Ezekiel Elliott with confidence.
Yes, I love it.
In 2020, the year of our Lord 2023, OBJ and Zeke are difference makers in the playoffs. I'm going to read you some stats here about Odell Beckham as far as the opportunity he's getting with his Baltimore Ravens, a good team with a good quarterback.
Yep.
The last 5 weeks, 30% targets per route run leads the team. 31% air yard share leads the team. 40% end zone target share leads the team.
Love it.
And I'll let you guys guess where this ranks as far as the team is concerned. 13.6 PPR points per game.
I'm going to go with leads the team.
Leads the team.
Amongst wide receivers, at least, of course.
He's literally been the best. And Zay Flowers has been great. Isaiah Likely, we can talk about him. But Odell Beckham, he may not be out there as much as we want. But when he is out there, He is being used, and he is efficient.
Yeah, 10, 5, 7, 2, and 7 targets over the past 5 games. So there was that 1 2-target game you don't love in there. But OBJ has a 40-plus yard catch in 3 of his past 5 games. The explosion is back. Three touchdowns in those past 5 games as well. So I've got OBJ creeping up the ranking steadily week by week by week. Jaguars are a good matchup as well, right? Because obviously they've been terrible defensively against not great quarterbacks. Jake Browning led him to 34 points 2 weeks ago. Joe Flacco, 31 last week. Each of those players threw 3 touchdowns against the Jaguars. So a good day on Sunday night, potentially, for Lamar and OBJ. And I guess to a degree, Isaiah Likely as well. I mean, Likely over the past 2 games has 13 targets, 9 catches. And we know Lamar Jackson loves his tight ends. I've got him as tight end 11. So he's right there on that borderline of being a starter.
If you would love Mark Andrews right now, and everyone would, then you should love Isaiah Likely. Because he has just been supplanted one for one. Yep. And we can argue about who's better or who's more athletic, whatever, it doesn't matter. Every opportunity that Mark Andrews would have gotten in this situation is now going to Isaiah Likely. So bank on that. And I think Likely is a very good tight end.
Yeah. I like Isaiah Likely as well. I think we've lowered his floor just a little bit, and he obviously doesn't have the ceiling that Mark Andrews has within this offense, but still somebody, especially given the tight end position. We talk about that a bunch.
Right.
You're looking, if you can tell me a guy's going to get 7 targets this week, I'm going to be usually pretty okay with that.
Yep.
When we move ahead, let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons field. We watched Drake London. Drake London, 10 for 172 11 targets for 29.2 fantasy points. It was his best game of the season. It was unreal. Now he takes on the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
And the one thing that we know about this Panthers defense field is what?
That they cannot stop the run, so teams just run the crap
against
them,
and they don't throw as well. Exactly.
Yeah, Drake London had exactly 0 catches against this Carolina Panthers team all the way back in week 1, in part because they just ran the crap out of the ball. I was trying to think of the appropriate way to describe how much confidence you should or should not have in Drake London. And I thought that calling it a coin flip would actually infer too much confidence, because there are some people that view a coin flip as I've got a 50% chance of being right. Those who maybe go to Vegas and spend some time there at either Tyler's old compound or the casinos. So I was thinking about it. It's like, what's the game that has the funky shaped die that's like got different colors on each side? Think of it this way. Screw that analogy.
Sounds like you're thinking
about the 16-sided die. Is that the one that's like 16-sided? Looks like a hexagon type?
Maybe, yeah.
Are you talking about a one game? Dungeons & Dragons uses a bunch of different die. Like, you know, you have a D20, you have a D12, a D10, a D8.
We're going deep in it.
I am definitely not a Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
I know a whole lot about it.
Maybe I showed a little too much.
I just don't know much. It's just like a thing I don't know nearly enough about. I should, because
I have a Magic the Gathering card set at home.
That's right.
How about that?
I'll boil it down simply. Just take a regular old die, not some hexagonal or whatever die, and just imagine that if you were told you have to roll a 2 or a 4, how confident would you feel?
40% confident?
I think 33%.
You got 33%. You got 2 out of 6.
Okay. Math. We are crushing this analogy.
I was told there would be no math.
That's how I feel about Drake London, right? Because of course, he could have a monster game. He did this past week. He's an awesome, awesome football player. However, he has 5 games this season with 36 or fewer yards. He has 2 games this year with 8 or fewer receiving yards. The floor for Drake London is literally 2 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, think about what's the floor for Michael Pittman Jr. right now?
It seems like 15.
Right.
It seems like he is guaranteed 7 and 80 every single
game. And I don't know that if those two guys reach the free agent market right now, how much more or less money Michael Pittman Jr. would make as opposed to Drake London. They're both awesome football players. They're like $20, $25 million wide receivers. Mm-hmm. One of them plays at an offense that feeds him left and right. One of them plays at an offense that decides when they want to feed him very sporadically.
Fight on for those two. Get in there.
Oh, right. Both USC guys. That's correct.
Had to have played together. Had to have been on the same team at some point.
Yeah.
God, with
that
their
was a
ages.
Loaded, loaded team, yeah.
I absolutely do not trust Drake London.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Recency bias is such a difficult thing to tackle with or wrestle with, maybe is the better way to say it, in fantasy football, because if you're a Drake London manager, you're like, oh my God, this guy just got me 32 points.
Yep.
I love it. I'm putting him right back in the lineup and I feel good. There's warm buzz.
Yeah.
That was a perfect setup for Drake London.
It was.
Against a pass funnel Tampa Bay defense that I just talked about. I was dealing with injuries coming into a domed environment, and they have an offense with, even though it didn't come to fruition before we went into it, Mike Evans and Rashad White and Chris Godwin and Baker Mayfield, they can push you. They can make you throw the football.
Yep.
Is Bryce Young in Carolina going to do that?
Not really.
Not going to happen, Tyler.
I think Arthur Smith is going to say, you know what, Bijan? You know what, Tyler Allgeier? Why don't you each have 20 carries in this game?
Because if we get to 17 points. The best,
yeah. I agree. I'm totally with you. I'm in on this. Also, it helps, Tyler, because I remember back to Sunday morning. I was doing the DFS segment with you on FF Now, and you talked about Drake London saying, if he can't get it done this week, when can he do it? So this was a great call by you here in week 14. Oh,
he won me some money. Drake London won me some money, and I'm going to say, despite that, Drake.
Do the opposite this week.
Yes. You would lose me money if I bet on you this week. You would lose me money.
2019 USC receiving room included both Michael Pittman Jr. and Drake London. Michael Pittman Jr. went off for a toasty 101 catches, 1,275 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Oh my gosh.
A young freshman, Drake London, had 39 catches for 567 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Oh, don't forget that
with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's right.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I'm looking straight at Pulse. He's literally to the left of this camera that I'm looking at. And I'm mesmerized by the fact that we're getting these stats in real time. And I see the human being doing it right there. Yeah. I'm just not used to this, guys. No. This is great.
That's pretty Paul great. Sets a very, very high standard for researchers here at ESPN. I need someone to send me like the most ridiculous position room in the history of college football, right?
Yeah,
like
there was some good ones.
Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara were teammates with when TJ Yeldon was still in the NFL. It was like all three of those guys were there at the same time. Like there's been some nutty ones. If you have them, send them our
way.
I
love those.
Yeah, they're great. And my Kyle Pitts thoughts are that he basically aligns with what we just talked about with Drake London. Yeah. He has not 10 or more fantasy points in one of his past 7 games. That one was this past weekend. So, there's fewer tight ends to choose from, so I still have them ranked relative, like inside my top 15. Hard for me to go much further than that with Kyle Pitts. You guys know the deal on Kyle Pitts by now.
Is this, Tyler, is this your note that is
Baylor
bolded
Jones
and,
is also there.
And underlined here on the Kyle Pitts note, or is this someone else?
That's not me. No, that's not me.
Guess how many tight ends have reached at least 50 receiving yards against the Carolina Panthers this year?
I'm going to go with 5.
0. None.
0?
So if none of them have done it, why would I think that Kyle Pitts is going to do it in week 15?
Telling
you. You know why, Daniel?
Because Arthur Smith is going to do
that. And that's why. That's why it's going to happen.
This is, if you have Bijan, strap in because great I think you're ready for a great Bijan week. If you have Ridder, if you have Pitts, if you have London.
Love that.
Collect your winnings from last week and move on happily.
All right, let's move ahead and talk about the Seattle Seahawks.
Field
Yates.
Yeah.
We've been waiting. We've seen some good rookie wide receiver play, but one of the things that we've been waiting is to see JSN kind of be unlocked within this offense.
Yep.
Hasn't really happened yet. He's had some nice plays. We've seen some nice weeks. It's not that he's not been good, but he hasn't been the guy that I feel like confident, super confident in starting.
Totally agree. Obviously, the Jake Bobo dilemma is a problem
that
for
is a
Seattle.
Big part of
you
it.
Got
yeah.
Bobo. You want to get him touches, which they haven't done enough of recently. Might not be a surprise that they're on a 4-game losing streak while not featuring Bobo. But JSN has been busier of late. He's got 18 targets over the past 2 games. That part you like. The problem is he averaged 8.9 yards per catch last week. And that was his good week in terms of big play explosiveness. Mm-hmm. He has been sort of relegated to this like short, near the line of scrimmage. Now, maybe that's because they played San Francisco last week. You got to get the ball out quick because of that defensive line. Who do they play on Monday night? Philadelphia, who can't cover anybody, but that defensive line still very, very good. So I think with JSN, the idea is not looking exclusively at what he has done over the past couple of weeks. Instead, looking at this. They are playing the best matchup for passing offense this season. JSN was the 20th overall pick in the draft, and some people thought he was underdrafted by about 10 slots. This guy had over 330 receiving yards in a bowl game once. He is so, so good. He is a calculated dice roll in this matchup. I've got him as wide receiver 39, but relative to other players in that tier, he has a higher ceiling because of his talent in the matchup.
And I Pulse beat me to it here because I was just about to say, talk about loaded, stacked position rooms.
That's the one.
2020 Ohio State. JSN, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jameson Williams before he transferred to Alabama. And was Abuka there as well? Was he on
there? Abuka? He's a senior now.
2020, if he's been there that long.
They had
as a
Julian
senior?
Fleming there, I believe, who was the number one recruit in the country. Oh. I mean, just...
Is it Brian Hartline? Is he the receivers
coach? He is, yes.
He's doing
now the offensive coordinator as well.
He's doing good stuff there.
By the way, go ahead and check out First Draft. Field, you guys just had a new episode that came out.
Wow, what a plug. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, in case you want to. I love listening to First Draft because it's one of those things that helps get me ready for next year, especially with all the fantasy guys that I don't know a lot.
The problem is your team doesn't draft high anymore.
Well, that's true.
They won't be, right?
The Lions will not be drafting this high.
Hard to figure out who we're taking at 29 as opposed to, you know, a lot of years, obviously, picking with high picks, including last year because of the bonus pick from the Matthew Stafford trade. But yes, I think a lot of what I just said with Jaxon Smith-Njigba kind of applies to these other players in the Seattle offense as well. For DK, he's been great over the past 3 weeks. He has 5 touchdowns over his past 3 games. And of course, with DK, he has a big play waiting to happen. Tyler was here 2 weeks ago for that Thursday night game, went off. We talked about how, like, when you have DK, you just roll the dice, you play him, and just say that the chances of him going for 8 points are in play. The chances of him going for 28 points are also right. very much in play. And with Tyler Lockett, it's been kind of a weird game. Tyler Lockett has a weird season, I should say. He has 5 or more targets in 12 straight games. That's... 5 or more in 12 straight games, and yet he has been sort of underwhelming yeah. this season. Remember, the story on Tyler Lockett is what we talk about every year prior to this, is that you just have to ride the wave. He might go for 2 catches 1 week and then 12 for 200 yards and a touchdown the following week. It has not really been that this year. Like, it's been a long time since there was a boom Tyler Lockett week. As a result, he is not inside my top 30 for wide receivers. I'm sorry, he is just at wide receiver 30 for my rankings this week.
If a boom is to happen at any point in a season,
this would be the time to do it.
It's going
to
happen against these yep. Philadelphia Eagles, who make you throw the football yep. and then don't have the requisite defenders in the secondary yeah. to defend you when you totally. Throw the football. So I think JSN is a great flex, a great wide receiver 3. I think the same can be said for Tyler Lockett. Smash spot for DK Metcalf. And as far as daily fantasy, Lockett's down to $5,400.
Oh, wow. That low.
You want to talk about a great tournament play with that upside? There's Tyler Lockett. That's something I'm considering. But this whole entire passing attack is set up in this spot because I do think they're going to have to throw the football. I think the Eagles got done with that gauntlet portion of their schedule, and they're going to reset after that loss to Dallas and hit the throttle for the home stretch of the season here. I think they show up in a big way on offense and push Seattle to throw the football.
I tell you what, the running backs, as you sort of just hinted at, make me nervous for Seattle on Monday night.
Yeah, this is when I was going to ask you about this field, because with it being Monday night, I know that there has been a little bit of injury going on here, too. I was trying to get a look at some of the practice reports. Assuming we get both of these guys this week, how yeah. are you approaching both Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet, given the fact that they have been splitting time a little bit more recently?
They have been, and maybe last week was because Ken Walker III was coming off of that injury. He had 8 carries.
Yeah,
Charbonnet had 9. Now, Kenneth Walker III did have 4 catches this past week, but prior to that, he had 4 straight games with 1 catch. So it feels like you basically need from either of these players. Let me rephrase this. From Kenneth Walker III, who's my RB23, you need a touchdown, a long play, or both to pay off. Yeah. And Philly's got the best run defense, or one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Moreover, for Zach Charbonnet, it feels like you need 6 dump offs for him, right? Like, hey, 6 catches for 42 yards plus 7 carries. But the fact that you have Kenneth Walker III now splitting carries with Zach Charbonnet, and maybe an extra week of recovery plus an extra day of recovery for Kenneth Walker III will lead to more carries. And he is about as prone to a big run as anybody in the NFL. He is just a big play waiting to happen as a runner. But he does make me nervous. Running back 23, I feel like under most circumstances, he's RB 13. It's almost yeah. like a 10-spot discount here on Ken Walker III.
Completely understand it. There are few things I hate more in life than looking at my fantasy lineup and it's a almost perfect 50-50 running back by committee in yeah. a bad negative game script matchup.
Yeah.
And that's what we have here. It's like, oh, God.
Second fewest points per game allowed to opposing running backs by the Eagles.
They're not going to get opportunity that they normally would in a positive game script, and their efficiency is going to get hurt, and they're a coin flip anyway. Like, yep. in any given game, it could yep. be a Charbonnet, or it could be Walker. If it's Charbonnet catching those dunk offs, or if it's Walker taking one 40, 50 yards to the house, it's just, I'd rather run into a concrete wall with my shin,
right.
like that a little corner terrible. Of a concrete wall with my shin,
awful. Yeah.
than have to handle trying to figure out which of these two running backs to play.
Yeah, and the idea of Kenneth Walker III needing a big run is important, but it's also hard. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia has allowed 2 players to eclipse 60 rushing yards in a game this season. 60. I'm not talking about 105, 60, which is not a monster day on the ground.
All right, well, we're going to go from some of those running back struggles to talk about some wide receivers that I think have also struggled recently, guys. Terry McLaurin, recently. Last 4 games, 7.3 fantasy points, 9.3 fantasy points, 9.0 fantasy points, and then 0 fantasy points. Mm.
Terry McLaurin might be the best dude in the NFL. Now, he has a reputation that goes back to his Ohio State days of being one of the best leaders in all of football. And that part has carried over into his NFL career. He is the Commanders nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, a very prestigious award, and perhaps the most prestigious individual award, yep. And he's a very right. deserving nominee at that. The fact that Terry McLaurin has not lost his mind publicly this year only makes me think that much higher of Terry McLaurin as a person. Yep. This is a star wide receiver. $24 million per year is what the Commanders committed to him. You know why? Because he's worth
super
it.
Good. Yeah.
And yet, in a season in which Sam Howell leads the NFL in passing attempts and is top five in passing yards, Terry McLaurin has zero games with 100 receiving yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. If I were him, I would be so apoplectic by now. I would have already been cut or maybe traded by the Commanders franchise.
Hey, Field, what does apoplectic mean?
Like frustrated beyond yeah. belief.
Okay. Nailed it.
Yeah. I'm going to start using that word more.
Apoplectic, it's okay. a great word right there.
Like a lot it. Of syllables in there. Makes yeah. you sound smart.
It makes you sound really smart.
I borrowed it from Stefania. She That's fair. Taught me That's several fair. Years yeah. ago. But bottom line is Terry McLaurin's a better man than I am because the fact that his season has been this quiet under these circumstances is mind-numbing. Mind-numbing.
Well, let's discuss then the possibility of McLaurin having a good game please, for fantasy managers please. In this spot because there is a lot to like. It is not quite the apples to apples of Drake London versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yep, last week because the Buccaneers, as they were constituted, did not defend the pass nearly as well as the Rams have all season long. With that Aaron Donald and no-name defense, they've actually been very, very hard to produce points on through the air.
Yep.
But we have Matthew Stafford in the Rams offense in an absolute uber smash spot.
It is.
Like 30 points is what we're looking at for that Rams offense. And the Rams like to play a little bit quickly in matchups like this. And if that's the case, if they're scoring early and often with Kyren, Puka, Cooper, Matt Stafford, Sam Howell will do what he's had to do all year. Drop back and throw the football 40, 50 times in a game. And we're in a domed environment. They're a 6.5-point underdog, a total of 50. There's only one other game I think that has higher on the board this week.
Wow. What would that be? Philly, Seattle? No.
Is it Buffalo and Dallas maybe?
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'll look this up. Pulse can look it up for me too. But this, if there is, it's 87% the spot that Drake London had last week. This is the opportunity. The only issue is Drake London, he is the alpha target earner, whereas Terry McLaurin has Jahan Dotson to deal with, Curtis Samuel, Antonio Gibson, even Logan Thomas. Like, yeah. there's just, even though they throw a lot, it's so spread out in D.C. So I think McLaurin, I would start as a confident flex / wide receiver too, especially if the person you're going against is starting Sam Howell. It's okay. a great way to leverage off of your opponent. If they have Sam Howell, put McLaurin in there because Howell, I think, is going to have close to 300 yards and a couple of scores in this game.
Wow. Bills Cowboys is the other team.
Bills Cowboys. All right, there we nailed it.
Now I'm starting to get excited about Terry McLaurin. I'm not going to lie.
He's better than any cornerback the Rams have. I mean, the Rams, young cornerbacks, he's better a football player than them. Now, Raheem Morris's scheme has done well, but I'm not saying it's Drake London. I don't have that type of confidence.
Yeah.
But it is 87% the spot that Drake London had. It's now or never kind of for Terry.
Is it? Doesn't this feel, though, because I love everything you say. I feel the exact same way that Field does. Like, you definitely, like, sparked something inside of me.
Yeah.
Right? But I the part for me that's tough is I don't feel like this is a Terry McLaurin thing. It's like, if they would just find ways to get him the ball, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So can we just change the way we're playing offense to make sure that we target him more often?
I mean, coming out of a bye week, maybe?
Fingers
crossed. Another great point. Yeah. That was another thing I forgot to mention, Field. I think the Commanders can keep this game closer than the spread indicates because the Rams are coming off an overtime, very physical, emotionally draining loss to Baltimore. I think the Commanders can keep this close. That defense is on the field a lot against Lamar Jackson. They're going to be tired. I think, again, Terry has an opportunity here that maybe he hasn't seen in a few weeks to really pop off. And just as far as numbers are concerned, regression is absolutely due at some point.
It is so due. It is so, I mean, God, they're just, I feel for him. As I said, I just wish that there were more people in this world with as much character and integrity as Terry McLaurin has, because I would be cut by now if I were him and I had lost my mind. Like, I think I would lose my mind based off how little he's been used.
Good Son moment. Put you on the spot here, and it's impossible for you to answer. If you've ever seen The Good Son, the mom has Macaulay Culkin and the other one, his name escapes me right now, Elijah Wood, I think. And she's holding both of them off a cliff, and she only has the strength to save one of them. Her biological son or the... Exactly. Terry McLaurin, Mel Kiper Jr. Field. You have to.
Oh, wow.
Who do you save?
You know what? I work with Mel, so I'm probably going to lean there, right? You know? Yeah, but that is. I might be beat red by the end of this show with that kind of pressure right there. I do love them both.
Tyler, I don't remember the end of that movie. Which son did the mom choose? Was it Elijah
Wood?
She
saved
the
right one.
Was it the ring
bearer? She let Macaulay go, and she saved. Yeah, she let Macaulay go. Spoiler. It's a good movie. Like
kept
early 90s.
That's what we wanted. Speaking of wide receivers that have been frustrating this year, Field. Yeah. Terry McLaurin's not the only guy. Let's talk about Hollywood Brown really quickly. Last five games, 6.4, 3.8, 3.2, 14.8, and then a 0 point performance. Also coming off a bye in week 14. What are you doing if you got Hollywood Brown on your roster?
It's a great question. You mentioned it. So three of his past four games, he has 0, 1, or 2 catches, does Hollywood Brown. Ugh. It has been an uneven season. And while Kyler has been really solid as a runner, he has a touchdown on the ground in three of his four games, he has not been a particularly efficient passer. Has yet to surpass 275 passing yards in any of those four starts. Now they play San Francisco. San Francisco, who has allowed the most fantasy points per game to opposing wide, excuse me, the ninth most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. So they're in the top 10 in terms of what you're looking for as a matchup. A lot of that is due to the fact that they're always bludgeoning teams, as we talk about all the time here. And so teams just throw the football a ton against San Francisco. Hollywood Brown has more than 50 yards once since week 6.
Whoa.
More than 50 yards.
Bueno, Daddy.
So I guess the question is, like, how much upside is there for a player who is banged up, who is facing against a 49ers defense that even if they're inefficient, I think, like, if you told me that San Francisco, coming off of a massive, massive dub this past weekend, won, I don't know, 42-7 on Sunday, would you be surprised?
No. Nah. Them beating anyone in the league right now, 42-7,
yes.
Would not surprise.
Yeah,
totally agree.
So it's
juggernaut.
Like,
yeah.
Even if they're up big, they might just suffocate this team the entire time. So I have Hollywood Brown as a result of some of those concerns outside my top. I've got his wide receiver 34 this week.
I can't remember where you ranked the other. I guess it's on the sheet right here. But I'm thinking, like, okay, here's
him versus McLaurin.
McLaurin, Odell Beckham. Those are two other guys that we discussed on this show that I would start over.
Similar territory.
Marquise Brown. Similar territory, but I like the factors related to those other two wide receivers more, because even though they're coming off a bye and Jonathan Gannon says he feels good, he wasn't at practice yesterday. So we still haven't, we'll see what happens today, but we still haven't seen a practice yet from Marquise Brown. That scares me big time.
Sure.
And then the chemistry that Kyler Murray is developing with Trey McBride.
Yes, thank you.
Mackey Award winner, Trey McBride.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
also concerning there. So again, I agree with game script and coming off a bye, and maybe it could be a letdown spot where the Niners are going, oh, it's the Cardinals. We already, ran through the teams we needed to. I can see that stuff happening, but we've discussed two other wide receivers here on the show that I would 100 times out of 100 in week 15 start over Marquise Brown. That's Odell and Terry McLaurin.
The thing about San Francisco in a letdown spot is that A, they need to keep winning to keep that number one seed, and
good
B,
point.
They're just way too talented. Like, there are teams that are in potential letdown spots around the NFL this week that I think have good talent, but not the same talent that San Francisco has. Like, at some point, they're just too darn good to fail. Too darn good to fail.
I agree. I mean, Cardinals winning outright would absolutely shock me, but then keeping it within.
That'd be as shocking as them beating, like, the Cowboys this
exactly.
year.
Exactly. Oh, that happened.
Wait.
That happened. So them keeping it, them covering the spread.
How?
I can see them covering the spread. I think it's 13.5, something like that. Them covering the spread, I can see. Winning outright, I don't see. But
I'm with you.
It's 12. It's 12, according to Pulse. So 12.
I just mentioned
maybe that's some movement. I don't know. I can't remember, but maybe that's some movement on the Cardinals.
Mentioned all of those fantasy points for Hollywood Brown just because Tyler mentioned it, and this is where I wanted to go. When you look at Trey McBride over the last 4 weeks, 21.1, 9.3, 13.0, and 22.9 as a tight end in that
great
offense.
Great football player.
Unbelievable, and he's getting a ton of targets, at least 9 targets in 3 of those 4 games. So he is absolutely being utilized. He looks like the guy that Kyler Murray is finding within this offense.
They got a real connection. Yep.
Totally. So, all right, let's close this one out by pouring one out. I wish we had a Miller Lite here to be able to pour one out for our friend, Jonathan Mingo, Field Yates, since week 9.
Yeah.
Since week 9,
yeah.
He is top 20 in targets amongst wide receivers.
That seems good, right?
That's more than Cooper Kupp, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Devontae Smith, Deontay Johnson, Calvin Ridley, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, Jordan Addison, Puka Nacua, Rashee Rice, Brandon Ayuk,
don't believe it.
Hollywood Brown, Zay
You're
Jones,
lying.
Cortland Sutton, and Drake London. He has more targets than all those guys. But He has only caught 17 of the 42 targets. No, he is wide receiver 45 in receptions over that same
stretch. Is that possible? How? I mean, there are a lot of ways to encapsulate the Carolina Panthers season.
Ugh.
That might be the way to most accurately encapsulate just how ridiculous this offense has been. And so ridiculously bad, I mean by that. Wow.
And what's shocking, since they've, you know, fired Frank Reich and brought in Thomas Brown to call plays and have Tabor as the interim head coach, like, it does not matter if they're up by nothing, because they're never up, or down by 30. They are running the football.
I love it.
And absurd. It's making Arthur Smith go, this is possible?
Yes.
I can run the football even more.
Hubbard ran 23 times last week.
23 times. Sanders had like 10 plus carries too as well. I mean, yeah. And they were trail mode the entire game, and they were not afraid to turn around and put that ball in the belly of their running back. I don't know if it's preservation for Bryce Young, because
that, honestly, that might be the best theory.
Why subject him to more mental and physical torture with a clearly outclassed roster that cannot hang with most in the NFL? Right. Like, who cares? Take the L's and just keep him out of harm's way.
Because if you just bench him for Andy Dalton, that would be, you know, potentially harmful psychologically. Yes. As well.
Yeah, wow. I don't want to do that.
What a disaster. And, you know, the good news is, of course, they have the first pick in the
Oh, shoot. Never mind. Chicago.
Bears. Dang. Okay. Wow. Marvin Harrison. Welcome to Chicago.
At least they didn't trade a good wide receiver with that pick.
No.
Moore?
Oh, shoot.
No, they didn't.
We're going to have zero Panthers fans to listen to this podcast after this. I'm sorry. No,
Panthers
we are
going to have zero fans after the season.
Look at Better David point, Tepper. Yes.
We are with them. We are fans of the Panthers fans. We just, they deserve better. They just do.
And they've had bad luck. Like, the Ikem Ekwonu, the tackle that they drafted, I thought he was going to be great, and it just hasn't come together for him. Bryce Young, I thought, this guy's at Bama, he's going to be great, and just, they've had some bad luck. I don't think they've had a terrible process. It's not been good, but they've had some bad luck.
Last note here from Pulse, and sorry, Panthers fans, you don't deserve this, but the catch rate of 47% for Jonathan Mingo, the lowest in the NFL since 2020. Darren Waller also was designated to return from IR to practice today. We'll talk about that more tomorrow, and certainly on Sunday if he has a real shot to play for the Giants. The Tommy DeVito Darren Waller connection.
I'm not sure. Like, I am all in on this. Is this story, like, when is this story going to reach Taylor Swift heights? Like, this is my question, because I feel like we've had a lot of the Tommy DeVito agent story and everything.
Listen,
like that.
Yeah, it was plateauing until his agent showed up on the sideline with that outfit.
Yeah.
That's
so good. And then it continued to skyrocket
now
from
there. It's got more legs for another week or so, and you know, they won the game. So
his agent knows a Massachusetts guy.
Another mass guy, huh?
We've had a good run recently, all right? Yeah. Will Levis, John Stilato. I mean, it's, you know, we don't get a lot of notable NFL people from, Eichel, but, you know, as I said, a lot of hockey guys, right? A lot of hockey guys. We have plenty of those.
Is your boy Hazy? Is he a mask guy?
Kevin Hayes is a mask guy,
my blues.
Of course.
No, that's
my
blues,
your boy. So. Yeah. Great dude.
Hey, this was a really fun show. Tyler, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
I know, Tyler,
this was great.
I joked with him last week. I was like, you around next Thursday? Because we might need you.
We can do it.
We'll see. We'll find out.
So. Oh, this is really good.
I live here now, guys.
You know what? Oh, actually, Tyler, I know you're busy next Thursday. Oh, wait, no, never mind. You're not. Yeah.
Nope. Hey, tell me how people can follow you in case people want to get either your betting advice or more fantasy stuff.
Boom, that's Tyler _FULGHUM on X at Shramwich. I know this is completely weird on Instagram because of my cooking and
Shramwich.
Culinary.
Oh, I love that.
Shramwich. And then, of course, you can watch ESPN Bet Live on ESPN2 during football season. We have some weird hours, so just make sure you follow John Manzo, our PR guy at ESPN.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
always tweets out the schedule. It's my mom's favorite follow because I never text my mom when my show is on. She gets it from John Manzo. So you can follow John Manzo on X as well, and he will tweet out the schedule during football season.
Essential follow.
Love
essential.
That.
Essential. Absolutely essential.
Yeah. Tyler, thank you so much, buddy. Field and I will be back tomorrow with Stefania and Mike Clay for the rest of your Week 15 update. But I'm going to have a Field and Tyler. My name is Daniel. We love you guys. Be kind to yourself. Be good to each other. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Go Raiders.
Go Chargers.
Go Chargers.
Go Chargers. Go.
Oh, man.
Who's that? No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.